Hello and welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. From Ann Arbor to Grand Rapids, communities all across Michigan have to pay more to recycle. That's thanks to a change in China's position on accepting recycling products from the U.S. Brian Ukenna is CEO of the nonprofit Recycle Ann Arbor, which runs the city's recycling services.
What we get paid to offset the recycling costs has greatly reduced, in some cases 50 to 60%, and in some cases even more. And as a result, it's changing the dynamics and the economics of recycling.
Indeed it is. Other communities grappling with increased recycling costs include Brighton and Saline. And in Kent County, the Department of Public Works has taken a more than $1 million hit because of this change in China's policy. Dar Bas is director of that department and is with us now. Dar, welcome back to Stateside.
Thank you.
So, Dar, before we get into just what this Chinese policy green fence has done to recycling, I think a lot of us could use a little primer on just what happens to the bottles and cans and the cardboard and newspaper that we dutifully haul out to the curb every week in our recycling bin, because I think most of us do not give it a second thought once we've done that. So what happens to that?
Sure. And most of us, as you said, when that happens, we just kind of like, it went away, you know, and we take the empty cart back to the garage. So in Kent County, and we serve seven or eight counties here in West Michigan, and it's true for other facilities throughout Michigan and throughout the country, is we have a single stream processing facility, which is really a manufacturing plant that receives from the waste hauler. They bring in a full load of recyclables after they've gone down the street and picked up everyone's containers, and they dump that on a tip floor. And then from there, we put that into a conveyor system where it's manually and mechanically sorted. So we select out all the cardboard and all the milk jugs and all the, you know, plastic bottles and all the different items that we accept, and then we bale those as single commodities. And then we take those single commodities and we broker those and move them on a semi-truck to a processor that might be local, might be regional, maybe international, where they then process that to make a new product.
Okay. So, and in that, there is something called a tipping fee. What is that?
So the tip fee or service fee is part of really two parts of the revenue stream that allows our facilities to operate. One is the tip fee. When the hauler comes in, he'll tip that on the floor, and we charge them per ton to receive the material. On the backside, we then broker and sell this material, and at least in theory, we're supposed to receive revenue from the selling of this material, which then covers our cost to run the plant, keep the lights on, refurbish and maintain it, and keep it operational for all the material that comes in every day.
And to whom do you sell the material?
It all depends. We use brokers that move some of the material for us. We also broker material directly. Kent County actually brokers all of its material domestically. All of our mixed paper, for example, goes to a mill in Indiana, and our plastic, some of it goes to Canada to be processed. Others, you know, goes to other facilities throughout the Midwest. There's a variety of companies, you know, whether it's corrugated cardboard or plastic or mixed paper, all those various items, there's different companies that then process that for us.
And as you say, I think most of us had no clue that this intricate system of getting rid of this material is in place. So tell us, Dar, about this Chinese policy that kicked in, this green fence.
Yeah, so green fence came into play a year ago, July, when China decided that there were certain materials they were no longer going to take, including mixed paper. Unfortunately, a certain number of brokers were sending material to the Asian market, and there was too much contamination in it, meaning there was trash mixed in. You know, it wasn't as clean a stream as it should have been. And now China is generating its own recyclables through its own consumption, so they don't need as much of international or foreign material coming in their manufacturing stream. So one example that I've used is a year ago, July, China was receiving 200,000 tons of mixed paper a month. And mixed paper is everything from office paper to paperboard to the mail that you get, all those things that we put into the recycling bin. And I would say that today they're taking virtually none. So this 200,000 tons a month that was being received from the U.S. market is now staying in the U.S. market, and it's flooding, and we're choking on this material because we don't have the capacity to process it domestically.
And are there any other countries you could get this stuff sent to?
Well, and that happened early. I think Vietnam, and there were a couple other countries that were taking some of this, but they quickly were overwhelmed themselves because they don't have the outlets or they don't have the processing capability either. And so most of those other Asian countries have turned it off as well, or at least really restricted it.
So, Dar, what kind of financial repercussions has this meant for Kent County?
Well, it's been significant because a year ago, kind of January, we were receiving anywhere from $85 to $90 per ton for our mixed paper. Today, in fact, I just checked with my recycling manager this morning, we're getting zero for it. So we're doing all of this work to separate it, to bale it, to transport it. And right now, global pricing is $0 per ton. And it's just, it's like $1.5 million loss that, well, we're fortunate that we still move the material because on the West Coast, they were relying only on the Asian markets. We're still moving it domestically, but we're not making any money on it.
So we're buying all these finished goods from China, but then we're stuck with all this packaging.
Well, that is certainly worth mentioning. In fact, I know that China just announced, and most of us are aware of the, you know, the tariff fight between the U.S. and China, and there's others mixed in with it. They just announced a tariff on OCC, or old corrugated cardboard, that now makes our cardboard more expensive and makes other countries' corrugated cardboard more attractive. And we expect another $5 to $10 per ton hit once that takes effect, and cardboard is trading at less than half of what it was. I think it's more in the $75 a ton range, where I think a year ago it was at least double, if not more.
Boy, so when I think of how many of us are just clicking on, for example, Amazon Prime, ship it from Amazon, we're all getting it in those cardboard boxes.
Well, definitely, and that's one thing that we noticed. Our plant was designed around a certain stream of material back in the late, 2008, 2009, our plant was built and came online in 2010, where, you know, we were built around newspaper and things like that, which, as you know, readership on newspaper and kind of how that all works has changed dramatically. But there's a lot more corrugated cardboard from online shopping. So we actually spent, I think, almost $1.5 to $2 million last year putting in new equipment and kind of reworking our plant, because we're seeing so much more corrugated coming. And so all these packages are coming, they're corrugated, but our market is being affected globally. And as you say, we're consuming this material, but the outlets on where a lot of this material is being generated or originating from have kind of turned off the switch.
So, Dar, you talk about this like $1.5 million hit you're taking because of all this. What kind of options do you have?
Well, either we continue to operate at a loss, which isn't an option. I mean, we have decided to backstop the facility, our recycling center. It's called the Recycling and Education Center. We see it as a community asset. So we're backstopping some of this loss off other DPW operations here in Kent County, but we can't do it forever. And so what we're forced to do, and so many other locations are being forced to do, we have to raise the tipping rate, which is the only other means of revenue, to balance it out. So our tipping rate presently in the last 2 years has been $35 a ton. That, with the commodity sales, was bringing us to about where we needed to be. Our board in June has made the decision that as of January 1, 2019, we need to go from $35 to $65 a ton. And that really doesn't even bring us back to break even, but it gets us a whole lot closer. We can absorb a little bit. We can't absorb multiple millions of dollars of loss. It just doesn't make good economic sense.
And do we have any sense what that higher tipping fee might mean for the individual consumer?
Well, and that's the worry, right? Because as we continue to share our visioning and our desire to see more recycling and more reuse going on, what I've been told is that if a customer is maybe paying $4, $5 a month for recycling, they could see that go to $10 or $12 a month. You know, the processing part of the equation is only about 30% of the overall cost of collecting and moving those materials from the curb and getting it to the processing center, right? It's the truck, it's the driver, it's the transportation. There's other things in play, but it's going to increase it. It's going to increase it for everyone. And we're concerned about it because on one hand, there's a lot of media coverage, and rightfully so, on the fact that there are some markets in the U.S. they're landfilling this material because they have nowhere to go with it. And so residents in West Michigan and in Michigan hear that, and they go, well, why do I even bother to recycle? They're landfilling it. Well, that's not happening in the Kent County area because we can still move it. But then the other side of it is, but now I'm going to have to pay more for having this curbside service, and there's just no way around it.
Do you think people could wind up just recycling less? This could really affect all the recycling habits you've been trying to train people to do?
That's what we're sharing. You know, so we've shared this story. You know, our Board of Public Works and our Board of Commissioners and other elected officials know that. You know, we and others have let the governor's office know because they were so involved in wanting to double the recycling rate and ensure that Michigan could, you know, reclaim its leadership in this area because we're a bit behind our other states around us in the Midwest. But this is going to be a real challenge. We're concerned about, is the commitment there? Do people understand the economic impact and all the other good things that come from recycling? Or are they just going to look at their bill and say, this just doesn't make sense, I can't afford it anymore?
Darbas, Director of the Kent County Department of Public Works, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you.